call the answer line, where you're the head honcho, the big cheese, top dog, big man, mighty boss. And you can tell us exactly where to go.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives. Hello, my name's Jonathan Marks. Welcome to this edition of Media Network. We've had several letters from around the world asking about placement and transcription activities in the world of international broadcasting. So, here's an explanation. So, here we go. It used to be simple. Radio stations like Radio Netherlands had a department producing programmes for broadcasts on shortwave. But some could also afford another department to make programmes that were put on disc or cassette and sent off to local stations for broadcast, mostly music, but also topical features which could hold for a few weeks. Hans de Wild is head of Radio Netherlands' programme export department, and he explained to me what we're up to now.
We are busy with a few things. We are busy with rebroadcasting. We use the word rebroadcasting. We use that definition. And for us, rebroadcasting is offering our original for shortwave-produced programme material via satellite to radio stations abroad. And we are now active in Latin America. We're using the Pan Am satellite, and we beam our signal to Latin America. And we have now contracts, or you can better say a relationship, with about 10 radio stations, major radio stations in Latin America, who rebroadcast part of our programme material live and tape the rest for deferred relay.
And what sort of programs are these? Music programs, news shows, or what?
No, the whole range of our Spanish programs in Spanish-speaking Latin America and our Caribbean programs for the Caribbean area, for Aruba and the Dutch Antilles.
So those are programs in Dutch and Papiamento?
Yeah, mainly in Dutch.
Right, so that's the rebroadcasting aspect. At the same time, in fact, in the room not far away from us, there are tapes being copied as we speak. Now, where are they going?
That's the good old transcription service. So that's the production of program material, which we copy on the sound carrier, as we say, quite neutral. It can be an open reel tape, can be a cassette, can be a compact disc nowadays, which we send free of charge to radio stations abroad. The major part of that program material is music programs, with music performed by Dutch artists or composed by Dutch composers. In classical music, our most important product are the concerts with the Royal Amsterdam Concertgebouw Orchestra. It's a series of 13 programs used, for instance, in the United States by more than 300 radio stations. We also have a good relationship with a couple of major European radio stations, like Radio France and BBC Radio 3. They're using the same material, classical music.
What about Asia? Because you haven't mentioned that so far.
Well, Asia, we have an old relationship with NHK. They're also interested in our classical music programs. And I just came back from a trip to China, and I've had talked to the Radio Shanghai, and they're very much interested in our classical music as well.
With the prices of satellite channels rapidly falling, it often becomes cheaper to send a program to the other side of the world by satellite than on tape through the post. And the range of products is suddenly much greater. The post can take weeks or even months ruling out news programmes. Satellites, on the other hand, mean that stations in New Zealand can put out BBC World Service programmes at exactly the same time as the BBC is putting them out through their own shortwave network. But there are pitfalls. Mark Deutsch, development manager at the BBC in London, believes that many international stations haven't really considered this direction in very much detail.
Those of us who started off with rebroadcasts often didn't really think about it. We were either approached by a radio station who wanted the material, or in some cases later we made an approach ourselves to radio stations in order to involve ourselves with their own programming. So what do we as broadcasters want out of it is the first question. The second and corollary question to that is, what are the rebroadcasting stations actually trying to get out of taking programming from international broadcasters such as ourselves? Quite rightly, when our programming and scheduling people are asked to provide a five-minute bulletin because so-and-so wants it in somewhere in North America, they say, well, sorry, we have the rest of the world audience which doesn't want it. They want a 10-minute bulletin or an hour-long news sequence or whatever it is. Who do we actually want to please?
Indeed, Voice of America's Myrna Whitworth, Director of Affiliate Relations, says that as more international programming finds its way onto domestic services, so it's forced to change.
For years, when all that we were concerned about was shortwave, there was a certain way that we put together our programs. Now that we're now on local stations, we find our programs have become a little zippier, a little shorter, that we're much more concerned with audience and with content and production and moving the programs forward. In a sense, it's revitalized much of what the language services throughout Voice of America have been doing for many years.
But then comes the crunch. Can you afford to keep up the shortwave service as well as the new placement activities?
That in a time of dwindling resources, we've got to make some hard decisions, that we can't please all people, and we have to make some hard decisions as to where we are going to put our resources, both manpower and money, to maintain a strong medium wave and short wave presence, as well as providing placement programming, or whatever we decide to call it, to stations around the world.
Radio Finland is a well-known international broadcaster. Its director, Juhani Dunisto, says that in Helsinki, their local foreign language FM service also relays other international broadcasters when they're not providing bulletins of news themselves. And the BBC has signed contracts with a lot of independent stations in Finland.
There are some 50 local commercial radios in Finland. They are unable to finance a real credible news service, and the Finnish law doesn't allow them to form networks at this time. Their solution has been that they take the BBC in Finnish. The BBC maintains a Finnish language service since 1940, actually, and four times a day these stations get news from London, and that has really improved their competitive edge. Ironically, in Finland, the BBC has the role of ITN News, the independent radio news. In the UK, the Finnish independent radios are using the BBC as their central newsroom.
Despite this, and networks like Voice of America Europe, Juhani believes that satellite rebroadcasting will remain limited in Europe.
Personally, I still believe more in Europe in medium wave and in short wave than in these placement activities. We don't know what the future has in store. If worst comes to worst, the number of stations taking foreign programs, say in the former Soviet Union, may be a lot less in a few years' time than it's today. The story could be vice versa. Anyhow, we should not scrap our shortwave transmitters and our medium wave transmitters. We are in Finland relying mainly on a 600 kilowatt medium wave for our close-by areas, getting our programs in Russian, for instance, and that will remain, I believe, the main channel, but we will, of course, pursue the placement system as well.
So expect Radio Finland on some satellite later this year, along with the BBC World Service on Astra in a matter of weeks. But Mark Deutsch says that current uncertainties still prevail. If local radio stations can open the floodgates to foreign programmes, when will they shut it again?
No matter how attractive the prospect of reaching the new audiences and being able to trim one's costs by rebroadcast deals in various places and even renting facilities closer to the target area, we are acutely conscious of the phenomenon of the gatekeeper, and it would be a dereliction of duty if we were to shut down our traditional shortwave means of reaching a particular target area, although obviously we will trim our costs by perhaps cutting down the level at which we pump stuff into a certain country if we know that at the same time the signal is being well heard in the country. If we were to cut it off altogether, quite apart from anything else, we would be in breach of our brief to continue to serve everybody. But also, we know very well that if you shut off an audience altogether, getting it back is extremely difficult, if not impossible.
The more political the programme, the more sensitive the issue. Susan Rohm of Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe, points to restrictions that they've encountered.
In the rush to have local retransmission, local placement, to make programming more attractive, to make it more interesting, we have to be careful we don't lose sight of who we are and what we want to be. I can give you two examples. In our case, we've been in negotiations with the Belarusian government to get on the Radio Tochka system, which is sort of a wired radio system in the former Soviet Union. It's very widespread. Negotiations were going along very nicely until the president of Belarus said, great, go on and broadcast, but don't talk about politics. The other problem, the other case in point, was Uzbekistan, same problem. Great, you can be on a medium wave retransmission. This is terrific. But be careful in your programs not to criticize my government. So I think we have to keep this in mind, who we are and what we want to be.
Indeed, retaining an identity is vital for any station.
Here are 10 good reasons for listening to Radio Netherlands. 1. The information. 2. The information. 3. The information. 4. The information. Radio Netherlands, your official information station. 7. The information.
Professor Paul Lenvai, who's the director of Radio Austria International in Vienna, points out that the next few years will be crucial for the medium-sized and smaller international broadcasters who don't have anything like the resources of the BBC or Voice of America.
If the upshot of the problems facing international broadcasting is you can only survive if you broadcast sound bits by politicians and then a lot of music tuned to your audience, and then you interrupt it perhaps occasionally with some information, but primarily trying to compete with the local radios, then the question arises, why should taxpayers finance it?
Oh, television, television, I'm sick from looking on television. I got a weak in the eyes, weak in the head likewise, from sitting and looking on television.
In fact, international television is trying to expand quite rapidly. Deutsche Welle, BBC, Australia, all following CNN. Well, Radio Netherlands does have a small television department, but it's out of the question that it would ever try an international satellite television service. It's simply too expensive.
In case of television, we charge. Television is not a free product, so we charge. But we produce a limited amount of program material per year, between 8 and 15 hours per year, mainly documentaries. And also in television, we have the co-production. We co-produce, we have a collaboration with the CNN World Report. Each week, we produce a 2.5-minute item for CNN World Report, which can be seen the world over on the CNN channel. Just recently, we completed a co-production with Guangdong Television, which is a Chinese television organization. 5 documentaries, 15 minutes each about the Netherlands.
Hans de Wild of Radio Netherlands. So, a quick look there at some of the other activities that all make up the world of international broadcasting. Back to the wireless and an announcement on Radio Moscow's world service recorded at 16 hours UTC on Tuesday, March the 2nd.
Deputy Chairman of the Ostankino Broadcasting Corporation, Valentin Lazukin, has said in an interview that the foreign service of Russian radio will soon have its own voice when legal acts will be passed concerning the formation of the Russian Foreign Service on the basis of Radio Moscow International. The name of the new station will be the Russian Wave.
So it looks like a new name for Radio Moscow there, the Russian Wave. That'll take some getting used to, won't it? That's all for this edition of Media Network. Thanks for joining us. Back soon. Bye for now.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.